consider to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. To England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
So, Recovery Radio is an outreach program of the Latah Recovery Center.
Oh, this is Recovery Radio.
It is. I'm a chatty
Cathy. I almost
Cathy,
thought we were the weather station there for a minute.
All around information.
Gosh, I tell you.
Located at 531 South Main Street, Suite B in Moscow. And their phone number is 208-883-1045. And their hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Their web address is www.latahrecoverycenter.org and their email address is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. And you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental illness affects us all and to make our community aware of recovery resources available in our area and to share the personal stories of the people in recovery, highlighting their experiences, strengths, and hopes for continuing recovery. I'm Denise Miller, and I've been in recovery for about half a decade now, and it's been quite a journey and still lots of learning going on, and really grateful to be here. One of my initial first goals at in joining into this was making sure that anyone in the community would know of at least one or two doors that they could walk through to get some help.
Very good. And I'm Johnny, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I've got a few 24 hours under my belt, and if I do today what I did tomorrow, I just good chance I'll go to bed tonight sober. I, too, started doing this as a part of the service requirement that I place on myself as a part of my continued recovery. And I'm just pleased as punch to be here and even happier that I have such a great partner in crime here with Miss Denise. She has a brain the size of a planet, and it's awesome. She comes up with some great topics and we never seem to run out of things to talk about, mostly thanks to her. So.
Oh, it's a combined effort. You know, I got to say, Johnny's the one who types out everything and gets everything going to get us all started and loaded up with everything. So super grateful for all the knowledge that he has from his life and being able to use computers and printers and all that kind of good stuff, because I am slightly behind the times, but I
you're
guess for my age, I'm catching up.
You're catching up. Yeah. You're doing just fine.
Yep. So we wanted to, I want to give out some more information. Suicide prevention number is 1-800-273-8255. That's the national hotline. And it's just that time of year where, it's a rough time of year for a lot of people. So we just want to make sure that people have that number. And then also you can get some more information from the Lakeville Recovery Center about this. And they, from time to time, do some like a learning hour or two about how to talk to somebody about suicide, for, you know, if you think someone might be suicidal, you know, it is okay to ask them. And they kind of go over what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
ask, persuade, and refer. Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Ask.
Persuade.
Yeah, ask, persuade. Yeah. I gave my cat a bath this morning, and it's still
got
the hair, the
your...
fur in my mouth is terrible.
It's cat dander.
Yeah. Anyway, and you know, there are people down there. Our friend Tom, for instance, who, you know, experienced the suicide of his son. You know, there are real live people there that can even talk to you about the experience afterwards, and you know what survivors can do, because you know, we're the ones that are left behind to pick up the pieces, so to speak, and try and get on with our lives. And you know, no matter how explicit a note left behind may be of someone who's, you know, passed, it's still a mystery. We still wonder how could things have been that bad. Mm-hmm. Quite often, a recent event, several people said, "I don't understand why he had so much going for him." Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's, you know, not the way they see it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And it makes it hard to understand. But anyway, there are resources. Mm-hmm. You know, avail yourself of them. If you're thinking of hurting yourself, don't struggle in silence. Somebody loves you. Somebody cares about you. And somebody will go way out of their way to, you know, help you figure out a path forward that's not destructive.
And, you know, I mean, thinking about it just now, I was thinking how I remember when I got into recovery early on, and I would hear people say things like, you know, just get through the next minute, 5 minutes, day, you know, kind of a thing. And there were moments where it was like, you know, I mean, just right now, I would really just like to, you know, this or that. And it took making a phone call or something like that. And I'm certainly not trying to compare my experience. Well, I guess I am comparing it, but
it's not.
It's,
you're
well, it's
not,
all I got right
you're
now.
You're not unique.
Yeah,
I can tell you, you're not unique, because
right.
I've had those similar experiences. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, I got to have a drink. I got to have a drink. I don't know what I don't want to have a drink, but I think a drink is the only thing that is going to get me through this, because I'm restless, irritable, and discontented, and I only know one way to deal with it. And yeah, and sometimes it's just hanging on by your fingernails to the edge of the cliff till that feeling passes, which it does. Or, you know, when those times it creeps on for an hour and your fingers are trembling, and it's time to take one hand off the cliff and pick up the telephone. Mm-hmm. And dial the number, because, you know, folks, I'm here to tell you, if you go into an NA room or an AA room and you introduce yourself as you know, this is my first time here, and, you know, I want to find out what this is all about, they will pass around a little schedule pamphlet that has all the meetings listed in it all week long for Pullman and Moscow, and there's even one for down in the valley. Lewiston, Clarkston area. And you will get, if you're a man, you'll get the phone number of pretty much every man in that meeting. Mm-hmm. and their name. And for women, typically the women will give you their names and numbers. And that is a contract. They're saying to you, if you're going to struggle, or if you're thinking about picking up,
start calling the list.
Call me, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And if I'm not available to get my phone, I'm out in the woods hunting an elk or something, call the next guy in line, yeah. because somebody's going to answer. Somebody's going to walk you through the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 24 hours, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that, oh, you know, we feel all great because we're helping people. It's a condition of our recovery. You know, a belief in a higher power that's greater than myself that pulled my butt out of the fire. And I have an obligation to pass on what I've learned. And that means helping you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
Hope, you know, somebody who's struggling, or somebody knows somebody who's struggling, is going to pick something up and be able to use it and run with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
what else we got?
We got the LRC calendar and upcoming events. Ooh, see attachment. You got
yes,
the attachment.
Yes, I have the attachment. I'm just going to run down some of the things. Alcoholics Anonymous meetings are every day at noon. That's Monday through Sunday. They have positive affirmations, Eat Smart Idaho, diet and nutrition, life skills classes, yoga hosted by the Moscow Yoga Center, AA recovery with kids, chess with Steve. You can learn how to play chess. We had Steve on here. Mm-hmm. Quite an interesting character. He knows his chess, though.
He does.
They have Narcotics Anonymous meetings, Tuesdays and Fridays, and I think they're back on for Tuesdays now. They think they took a break from it over the holiday. They have a free meal or snack on Tuesdays at 5:30, which is sponsored by Good Sam. There's addiction support groups, positive affirmations, the alternative giving market of the Palouse. Well, that's at the 1912 Center, but they're involved in it. And that's on Thursdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Peaceful art practices, LAMI, family support. They have a movie and game night every Friday from 6:30 to 9. You can check the website to see what the upcoming movie is and such. Third Saturday of every month, they have an AA speaker meeting. Learn how to crochet and calm your mind on the fourth Saturday of the month from 10 to 12. They have a peer social activity, which they've gone to the
bowling and wild art.
Bowling and wild art to make stuff, and the Appaloosa Horse Museum and the Planetarium at WSU. Yep. This last summer, they sponsored taking people up for the free fishing day, took mm-hmm. them up to Spring Valley Reservoir.
Yep.
You know, all sorts of fun things yeah. to do that you can do when you're sober and mm-hmm. don't really cost anything or don't cost much at all.
Yep.
And they have adult children of alcoholics women's meetings. And as always, the classes and groups are free or at cost and open to everybody. So that's some of the things you can do at L'Etat Recovery Center, as well as take advantage of, like Denise was talking about earlier, all the resources they have there. They have a wall that's 8 feet high and probably 12 feet wide, full of pamphlets, literature, books, mm-hmm. Dealing with you know, everything from, you know, addiction, homelessness, mental health issues, you name it. If you need a resource, it's probably on that wall, and somebody will take you by the hand mm-hmm. and help you find the resources that you need.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what the recovery coaches do there is, you know, if you have a question, they help, you know, you find the information that you need. There's also a couple of computers there that, you know, you can use and all that kind of good stuff as
that's
well.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Employment resources.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. They even have a list of what they call felony-friendly yep. employers.
Absolutely.
And there are, you know, I'm not going to throw it out there on the air, but you'd be quite amazed at how many businesses and organizations in this area are willing to give people a second chance, mm-hmm. and encourage them to get it right. And, you know, it doesn't work out all the time, but that does not scare those people mm-hmm. away from,
right.
you know, maybe the next one. Maybe well, this next guy or gal is going to be the one that, mm-hmm. Well, we had a fellow on the air here who works at a local restaurant, got his foot in the door, and is managing it
exactly.
now.
Yeah. I mean, people that are on probation have parole officers and probation officers and things like that, and they have a lot to lose. First of all, if they lose their job or they get in trouble. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they tend to be pretty good employees.
Yeah.
You know, that's yeah. just the way that works, you know.
Yeah, it's not your typical, the worst that can happen is I
right.
get fired.
Yeah, you know.
I could get fired and go back to prison. Or, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's yeah.
There's some pretty serious accountability going
it
on
It kind of is, yeah.
For sure,
so,
for sure.
So it is, you know, the Thursday after New Year's and a week and a half or so after Christmas. And yeah. so we don't have a guest today, but we were brainstorming a little bit on what would be appropriate to talk about, you know, right after New Year's. And so there's some debate about New Year's resolutions for me because you know,
I resolve not to make any resolutions.
And, you know, and some, and a lot of people do, and they do really well with it, you know, and bless them for having the follow through of it. But I find myself that, I don't know. So I think maybe the reason that I failed at some of them was probably like poor goal planning, you know,
right.
like the process. I, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I want to do this. You know what I mean?
I want to lose
weight.
But
I didn't think, yeah, but I didn't think about how was I going to get to the goal.
Right.
And I remember learning in the recovering coaching course that I did down in Lewiston for a week, about a year and a few months ago. And they talked about SMART goals. And that was basically, you know, what's your goal? What's your time frame? How are you going to get there? All that kind of stuff. And, you know, what kind of resources do you need? And of course, you know, you're sharing that with somebody because, well, it's a recovery coach peer thing, you know,
well,
so you're
exactly.
talking to somebody about it.
Well,
right?
let's
brainstorming.
I mean, quite simply, my perspective on it is I made the decisions I was making basically just got me drunk for
right?
20
Maybe
years.
That was my problem.
yeah, yeah. So, you know, learning how to, you know, yeah. set healthy goals, mm-hmm. like you like to say. Well, I like yeah. to say too, you know, healthy yeah. is much better than sane, although mm-hmm. they can be synonymous in the confines of this conversation, but to make healthy, to set healthy goals, but to set them, like you just explained, you need a process.
Yeah.
I would like to lose 20 pounds. But if I say to myself, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, mm-hmm. you win. Mm-hmm. I know
How
because
are you gonna do that?
I've researched and done a little study on it that, you know, losing a pound a month or 2 pounds a month can be done fairly easily and, you know, through just healthier living habits, mm-hmm. Getting off the Christmas cookie.
Right, yeah,
binge.
Your diet.
Oh,
your
my God,
probably
yeah.
Probably your portion size, as I firmly believe.
Right, right. Diet, portion size, mm-hmm. you know, the kind
calories.
Of foods you eat, mm-hmm. counting calories. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. Mm-hmm. But I need to understand that 20 pounds is not going to disappear in a week. But in a month, I might review how's my energy level? Mm-hmm. You know, how's my overall health? You know? Because when you start eating healthier, things happen to your body, like you start building muscle and you're losing fat, but
yeah,
you're building
sluggish.
Muscle and
yeah.
muscle weighs more than fat. So you might be doing things and going, oh my God, I gained 2 pounds. But if you put
right.
a tape measure around your belly right. and suddenly you realize, you know, well, your pants are fitting loose or right. your shirts aren't as tight as they were, mm-hmm. you know, these are the sort of things you look for in those short-term goals.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I'm going to check myself in a month for, you know, belt size and how do I feel? And then in 2 months, I'll see some significant weight probably rolling off. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I want to get into an accelerated program where I join a gym.
Yep.
A lot of people join a gym this time of year.
They sure do.
And they go at it gung-ho, and they go in there, and they ride the bikes and run on the treadmills and play with the weights. And 2 months down the road, something came up, and they skip it, and they're not really seeing a lot of results. And it's because they didn't get with somebody who knows what the heck
they're doing. And that's kind of the deal. So I've worked at Anytime Fitness for 5 years, and my adult daughter had worked there as well. And she pointed out to me a few years ago. So when January comes, it gets super busy. There's a lot of people signing up and things like that. And then the week right after Valentine's Day, there's a big drop off. And then the week after spring break, there's a big drop off. And then we're back to the people that were already there, basically, for the most part. You know? So the only thing I can think of saying is, boy, you get through the first like 3 or 4 months, you could probably get it. So, you know, get a trainer, look stuff up, get an accountability partner, get someone who's going to go with you. Because that usually helps. I mean, that works in recovery in general. And I was thinking while you were talking about, so if you're a person in recovery, I would say it's really fair to say that we like to see results fast, and patience
really
isn't exactly the strongest point.
That was my morning prayer. God, give me patience and do it now.
And so I really liked how you talked about, you know, notice how you're feeling, you know, are you feeling better? Energy levels, maybe measure things, be patient about, you know, because that's the deal. I mean, I feel like sometimes with addiction and that kind of personality that has, it's like, okay, so I'm going to just like eat like a bird and I'm going to lose a bunch of weight and then I'll obtain that goal in like 2 weeks. And then, you know, then we've harmed ourselves basically.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? We've starved ourselves to death. So in the thinking of being in recovery, you kind of have to think, okay, let's think logically and like, you know what I mean? So I like what
exactly.
You're saying.
Exactly. And yeah,
that's good.
In recovery, I mean, it's the same thing. You don't go into an AA meeting and sit in the chair and, you know, absorb the program and gain your sobriety through what they call osmosis, where you absorb the program through your buttocks
by sitting in the chair
up into your brain. It requires some work, you know, and not the least of which is working through those 12 steps with a sponsor who is really nothing more than a person who will help you decipher that incredibly confusing blue book and help you work through those 12 steps the way they did it, the way they were, and which has allowed them to stay sober for whatever length of time. I think it was probably 4 months in and some guy walked up to me and said, I want you to sponsor me. And I was like, and I turned and looked at my sponsor and I said, can I do this? And
he goes, I just got here.
Well, you're up through the fifth step now. So yeah, go for it.
That's awesome.
I'm like, okay. And, I kind of lost track of that fellow, but, you know, he chose me. Right. No. I did my best and what I could. Actually, I think what he did when we both reached an equilibrium, same level in the steps, my sponsor took over with both of us, and we both worked through it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been talked about at my church, too, about how, like, you know, so, you know, you don't have to be able to get somebody, you know, from not knowing much to all the way past you. What you have to do is just share with somebody what you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, introduce them to some other people.
Sure. Well, a person with one day of sobriety knows how to put 1 day of sobriety together.
Right. Yeah.
And so a person with no days of sobriety can benefit.
Right. So, I mean,
exactly.
It's kind of a community effort.
It's not the sort of thing where you need to have your PhD in sobriety before you're allowed to share what you know.
Right.
You know, because it's a life and death thing. I mean, you know, when it comes to sobriety, we're not talking about, oh, I failed at losing, you know, the 20 pounds I wanted. It's, I'm drinking again and it's going to kill me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not to be the Debbie Downer, but, You know, and back to our topic. I mean, the idea, the concepts are the same, you know. Baby steps.
Baby steps,
you,
yeah.
You said it earlier.
And I was going to say, I know I didn't give a great example of what all the SMART goal is, but you can, you know, you can look that up, look up SMART goals, mm-hmm. and there are some questions you go through. Or even just, you know, how to set goals in general. So, you know, I mean, most everyone has access to their phone or whatever to Google. If you don't, you can go down to the Latah Recovery Center and just kind of look up things. I mean, if you got something that you'd really like to achieve, putting some time and effort into it and figuring out what are some good options for you to get there.
And I recommend that people use the internet. You know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
There's going to be lots of different advice on the internet.
But, you know, the internet, it is a rather glorious, fairly advanced phone book.
Yeah.
You know, you can find people or programs through it. You know, kind of like stopping at the Latah Recovery Center. It's an information clearinghouse, you know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't try and get sober through, you know, a YouTube video right. on getting yeah. sober, although, yeah. you know, there might be some
might
really
be a start,
good ones
but,
out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, mm-hmm. it, as a starting point and as, you know, a book of reference, because there's lots of resources in this town that you can use. There's you know, a plethora of people with degrees in psychology and psychiatry yeah. that can help you with certain things. The people at the Latah Recovery Center, I mean, the classes and life skills,
right.
there's things in there for people whose lives are going pretty good, you know, mm-hmm. who are not necessarily in recovery. But I read an article the other day that just like 85% of the millennial generation have no idea what a checkbook is or how to use one because
that makes sense, I guess.
Plastic cards.
Right. Yep. And I mean, they go online and can pay each other in PayPal and all. I'm much as handy,
right.
you know, but yeah, a checkbook. Well, you know, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly messed that up enough times. So I don't know that that's such a bad thing, but.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the idea that you know there are, if you don't know you know how necessarily to set a SMART yeah. goal, yeah, there are resources to help you find that yeah. just to learn what a SMART goal is, just mm-hmm. to define it yeah. you know. And I kind of define it as baby steps where you can you know, like we said, you know, I have the patience of a gnat, you know. I want to see results now. I want to see things happening. But I can force myself to be patient for a week or two. Mm-hmm. So if I set goals that don't go out past that.
Right, you're knowing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go there. And if it has to be daily, like going to your calendar and go writing on there, worked out half an hour, anytime mm-hmm. fitness.
Right. You're like, dude, it did it.
I did it.
Right.
Pretty soon, looking at that calendar every day, mm-hmm. you know, you'll realize, ooh, I skipped a couple of days here.
And that's
oh,
okay.
Doctor appointment.
Right.
Oh, had my leg surgically removed. All right. Well, that's an excuse. Yeah, these things
that
happen.
That was okay. Things yeah. happen. People get sick. Germs are evil. Yeah.
Germs are evil.
They're just costly. I don't know. I mean, I was trying to think the other day when my youngest was talking about being sick, and I told her, I said, well, see, that's why I tell you to wash your hands and you don't want to get sick and everything like that because she's missing out on things. But they're costly to mommy, so.
Oh, yeah.
Missed work.
Missed work, copays, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah,
blah.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we hit the music for yes. a minute and get a drink of water, and we'll roll on with this a little more later.
All right. Sounds good. You're listening to KRFP, Moscow Pullman's Recovery Radio.
So long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love. Yeah.
And we are back. That was a little bit of Led Zeppelin, Dazed and Confused. I thought it was appropriate for this time of year and being in the decision-making processes that we all are with our recovery-related resolutions and our other related resolutions for just living a better life.
Yeah. Oh, I got to throw out one thing that's not necessarily overly positive subject, but as usual in January, I find myself broke. And, you know, mostly I feel like due to the 5 days I take off to go visit my family in South Idaho and then my sick children, sometimes maybe miss work as well. But I will say that I'm super grateful to not be broke because of addiction. And I'm still paying all my bills and all that kind of stuff. There's money for food. But, you know, like I really need to get my hair cut and I'm going to have to wait a little bit on that. It's that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's progress for me because cause there were times in addiction where I was just continuously broke, you know. And gosh forbid if I would have had credit cards at that time, I would have, you know, overdone those as well. And as I texted you earlier, you know, because I don't have good decision-making skills with credit cards, I just don't have them anymore. So, you know, there's those simple things that I've learned about myself and that that I set up the way that I do because I know who I am and the things that I struggle with. So
right. And yeah. and knowing yourself, you know, that's a big deal. And when I got sober, it took some time, and going through the process of the 12 steps is a real good way to get to know yourself, and specifically your what they call character defects.
Yeah.
You know, I was forever in the world of mañana. I'll worry about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I owe these people money, you know. So I do things like, you know, put the check for the power company and the envelope for the water company and put the check for the water company into the envelope for the phone company. And, you know, it would take them, you know, they would think you're trying, you know. But it would take all those people a while to get it figured out and straightened out, and that would buy me some more time.
Yeah.
It was pure evil.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying is I'm super grateful to quote be broke, and but what it means today is different than what it used to mean. It
right.
means I can't get a haircut this week, but my electric bill is paid, except for I owe them $30 on Monday. But anyways, you know, but I called them and I set it up. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh dang, didn't get to that job because the kid was sick. Let's just call them up right away and make sure it's okay. Let's
right.
get on it. You know what I mean? And there's not that fear anymore. And I didn't give them any excuses. I just said, hey, is this okay? Can we do this? You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that used to be a really big deal. And I know there's some people listening going, what in the world is she talking about? Well, have you ever gotten really deep into addiction and literally lost your house that you were buying and it foreclosed and you had the sheriff come and show up and make you leave? Then you might be able to relate to what that looks like. But that's, you know, that's literally the depths of what I had gotten myself into. And so today when I say I'm broke, I'm still eating. My rent's still paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I might be a little low on fuel and things might be tight, but it's getting done. I'm going to work and doing all the things that I'm supposed to.
Right, and I to still, become not broke.
Right, exactly. To eventually hopefully have some savings, because boy, that I know is a commonality of people who are successful and that don't, you know, run into big crises because they save up. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, taking care
of people like that.
Yeah, yeah, taking care of the financial end of things is, you know, is critically important. And like anything else we do in life, you know, if you build a good habit, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
You can, you know, build yourself into a point of, you know, being able to build some actual wealth, which, like exactly like you said, that's money in the bank,
right?
You know, something tucked away for a rainy day. Mm-hmm. None of us plan on, you know, getting sick,
but it
breaking
happens, so.
Breaking a leg, you know, falling down on a, you know, an icy parking lot. But these things can happen. And, you know, if you don't have some sort of a pad, something to fall back on, and you miss a week's worth of work. I read somewhere not long ago that, you know, most people are like two paychecks away from bankruptcy.
Yeah, from not having a place to live.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. It's, and, yeah. You know, it has a lot to do with our, you know, consumer society and, you know, those evil credit cards, mm-hmm. Which can be evil, you know.
It depends on how you use
them. When you realize, you got to understand that credit cards are not an extension of your, you know, your paycheck. Mm-hmm. They're a convenience thing. You know, I have a couple of credit cards, and they have limits on it that were I to run them up to the max, I would spend the next 20 years scraping to try and pay them off. But
so you know better, huh?
But yeah, but if I do want to buy something and I don't have the cash on me, I know that I can make that purchase and go home, get on the computer, transfer the money from the bank,
right.
Mm-hmm. to make that purchase. And when it comes to a big purchase, you know, and for me, a big purchase would be anything over like $500. I don't just decide because I have a credit line that I need to make that purchase today.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, it would be nice to have this today, but I know if I wait and, you know, do a little extra work here or sell some of the stuff I'm not using anymore on eBay, I can build up that $500 in a couple of months,
right. And
I can come back and get that.
And then
name your toy,
right? And then you won't, you know, charge interest on it and things like that. I mean, it's just,
right, exactly.
Yeah. So you know, so that's a goal for me is to work on getting some savings going on, and also I have some medical debt that needs to be figured out some more, and yeah. I got to do a quick shout out to my husband for helping out with that every paycheck.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him. Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's getting better all the time, isn't he?
He really is, yeah.
That's fabulous.
And so I really appreciate his cranking away at that and becoming a lot more positive about it and saying, hey, you know, let's just try to get it taken care of. And so then that's motivating me to just get a hold of people that I owe medical funds to and talk with them and get some things figured out before it gets to the point where, you know, it's a garnishment. You know?
Right. Exactly. Because in my addiction, oh, damn people, you know, they just, they don't understand and, you know, they're taking my money. And the reality is, if you'd offered to give them some money, they probably would have got off your back away.
Yeah, so that's
and
kind of
after all, you're the one who, you know, you're the one who's responsible for it. And I think that's, you know, financial responsibility. I mean, that would be a great New Year's resolution too.
Yeah.
When we were talking earlier, I was talking about, you know, the negative New Year's resolutions. And what I call negative would be, well, I'm not going to whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to smoke anymore.
Right.
Well, you're setting yourself up for failure because never is a long, long time. And the reality is if you want to quit smoking, you're going to say, I am going to work on quitting smoking. I'm going to work on being a non-smoker. I'm gonna talk to my doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get on Chantix or whatever, you know, some other horrible drug, or I'm gonna go to there are support groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Gritman Hospital has them.
They do.
And you can, you know, for smoking cessation, they call it. They make it sound fancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to eat candy anymore. All those things I'm not going to do anymore. Those things are, you know, maybe you're successful with it. Maybe you have that resolve,
yeah,
that,
I think that, there
that
are
discipline
some people,
to do that.
It's not me.
God bless you. But yeah. Most of the people I know that say, I'm never going to, I'll never forget, I lived in an apartment complex with a buddy of mine down in California, and we had a little New Year's Eve party, and everybody had a good time. And at midnight, we went out in the parking lot, and we were on the lower level. So we walked out in the parking lot, and we're listening to the fireworks and watching things go off and people hooting and hollering. And from the upper balconies came raining down packages of cigarettes. All the people, hey, I'm quitting smoking. Woo!
Wow.
And the next morning, I had to get up and go to work on New Year's Day. And I walked out in the parking lot and hear all these people in their pajamas and boxer shorts and wife beater T-shirts and women as well, crawling around the parking lot trying to find the pack of cigarettes they chucked off the balcony the night before.
Maybe
so
that was resolutions made while drinking. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
Well, we're quite, all superhuman when we're drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I can do it all. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the positive, what I hear you saying is like, it's like the positive with the words that you choose, how you're thinking and things like
right.
that can really make a difference.
Right.
Make the
right.
wording positive and reach out and find support, you know, talk to people about it. It's just like when we go into the rooms of AA or NA and we get to hear other people. And I mean, I was blown away to hear that people like went through some of the same things I did. I mean, I was like, whoa. And it really helped. It just helped. It helped so much more than I could possibly describe. It was just mind blowing. And it just really changed my heart. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, I have experienced in AA rooms and fellowships so much of my story, and just to be able to realize that I'm listening to somebody talk who's been sober for 30 years, mm-hmm. who drank exactly like I drank, made all the mistakes that I made, all the bad decisions, was so deep in debt that, you know, there was no hope of ever getting out of it, that their relationships with their families were destroyed. They lost the house, lost the car, lost the marriage, lost jobs over it. And now I'm sitting listening to them and they're telling me, you know, I've got a great relationship with my wife or husband. I have a good job. I've been working at for a long time now. I've got wealth. I've got financial security, and I'm reasonably happy mm-hmm. where I am.
Yeah,
because the walls aren't closing in on me anymore.
Yeah, it just takes recovery and just being patient, working on things a little bit at a time.
That's right. That's right. Nobody, there's no pill, folks.
Yeah.
There's no magic bullet. They're doing some interesting things with electroshock therapy, but you know, along with that desire to drink, you might lose a little bit of your personality.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe those type of things are reserved for people who are really far gone off the edge.
And that's just kind of where the choices are, what they decide to do.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what you're doing, God bless you. If it's working for you, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But for me, honesty, openness, and willingness, the how of Alcoholics Anonymous is what did it for me. Mm-hmm.
Openness and honesty, it gets you far. It gets you answers too. I mean, so sorry to interrupt, but
no,
I mean, I put a post after praying about it on Facebook about struggling with something in parenting, and it had to do with the kids bickering, which I realize is probably more of a problem about me than it is about them. I just don't like seeing it. So I was asking for some kind of advice, and I got some great answers. It was just beautiful. And I ordered a book that I think will be helpful, because honestly, that situation is me. I'm the adult, and I need to be teaching them how to work through and be thinking and problem solving. And someone had mentioned, actually, it's my husband's cousin, I do believe. And she said, you know, this kind of thing where if children don't understand how to work out problems and do this, it can lead to addiction and some other things. And I thought about it and I was like, wow, you know, that's super true. Because what, you know, what was one of some of the reasons that I went ahead and used it was because I couldn't deal with conflict.
Right.
You know, so that's an area that I've seen inside of myself for the 30 years that I've been a parent. And the first two, the adult two, you know, I had struggled with that to help them as well. I just hated seeing it, you know. So right. Being able to be open and honest about things that we struggle with can really help, you know, break the chains and get some answers and move forward.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
It's the new cool for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I
know. You know, people can think I'm silly, but it's cool.
No, I totally dig it and appreciate it and applaud you for, you know, that's also one of the great things about, you know, getting sober through a program is your eyes get opened. And, when, you know, you can't unsee things. You can't unlearn them, you know. And once you start realizing that, no, I don't have all the answers.
I don't.
I am not all that in a bag of chips. But it frees you, in a sense, to be able to say, hey, I don't know. Maybe can you tell me? Mm-hmm. Can you share with me?
Yeah.
And that's,
we need each other.
And that's the openness. Mm-hmm. Is to be able to do that. The honesty is saying, I don't know how to do this. Mm-mm. And the openness is, you know, can you share with me how to do this? And the willingness is actually to be able to take what
those people say
or mm-hmm. what you read in the book or what you observed somebody else who seems to have, you know, well-behaved children, mm-hmm. Be willing to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not necessarily just a thing for people in recovery. I mean, that's what normal people do. But for us, it's magic.
Right.
It's absolutely magic.
It is.
Hey, we're up against the clock. It's almost that time. God, I almost hate it to end.
Yeah.
But we better
wrap up.
Oh, wrap it up and let our next radio host get in here. Thank you so much for a wonderful day and good information. I think I learned as much doing the show as I hopefully I am dispensing out and information for people to think about and try and use.
Yeah, I hope we are doing that for people. I really do. That's why we're here, and what sure is a benefit to us. I love it.
All right.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Denise. And like we say here, on Radio Recovery, if you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, you do.